Good morning, church. Good morning and welcome to the Midway Church of Christ. We are very glad to see each and every one that is assembled here, and we want to also welcome those of our number that are going to be with us online and friends that are going to be with us online. And we hope that each of you get something from this that you can take with you and be stronger. Will you join me now as I open with a prayer? Dear Lord and Father, we are so thankful to you for all the ways you have of blessing our lives. We are thankful for this beautiful day that you've given to us, for this opportunity that we have to assemble. We are thankful for our families that you've given to us to love. We're thankful for the good health that so many of us enjoy, but we're mindful of those of our number that are not with us today because of sickness. We pray that you be with them and those that are caring for them, and that they may soon be returned to their health, if it be thy will. We are thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for Jesus. We are thankful for the fantastic love that he has for us, that he showed to us. We're thankful for the examples that he set. We are thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for Russell and for the lesson that he's prepared for us today. We pray that we will each listen attentively, and that when we leave, that we might take that we've been blessed with, and that we might be stronger, more apt Christians. We ask that you would go with us, watch over us, and forgive us for our sins. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning will be Psalms 107, 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in a desert wasteland, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
It was a normal weekend, and Ava was at our house. Aditi was getting up, and Ava ran through the living room to go to Kendall's room. He was still asleep, and she was kind of back and forth, and I was doing a couple of different things. And then she went back to our bedroom, and a few minutes later, Dee Dee came through, and a lot had taken place in my head since she went back to our room, and Dee Dee said, "Where is Ava?" And I said, "Well, she went into Kendall's room, and then she went back," and she goes, Ava, nothing. And so we begin to think, well, she's hiding from us. And so we started going to some obvious, normal hiding places, saying, Ava, and nothing. And as time ticks off the clock, we begin to think, she must have gone outside. So now our search widens, and we have gone from looking under cabinets and looking at beds and looking underneath the beds and behind the couches to looking out the back door and looking out the front door and thinking, where is she? And now Dee Dee is starting to get a little more panicky. And so the level is going up, and we're trying to find her. And that sense of, where is she? I mean, she never stays this quiet for this long. And I walk in the bedroom, and the covers come up and she says, ta-da. She was hidden and we couldn't find her. And when you can't find something you're looking for and you realize it may be gone, especially when it's a child, you begin to have that sense of alarm. It's something we read about often in the Bible. Jesus and his disciples were in a storm. And the disciples were fighting the storm. And if you look at the language of the text, the Greek words that it uses, Matthew uses the word earthquake, and Mark uses the word for hurricane. So we sometimes picture these stories with our flannel graph memories of a little storm on the sea. But they're using words like, when you hear words like earthquake or hurricane, or when your phones were going off last night telling you there's storm warnings, that stuff gets your attention, right? Especially if you've been through one. And they are fighting this furious storm, and the word it uses in Greek is they panic. And Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat, and they say, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? They're panicked. They think death is knocking at the door. They're scared. They're wondering, where is the Lord? He should be helping us, and he's sleeping. Don't you care if we drown? And Jesus gets up and speaks, and everything is calm. One reality is, if Jesus is in your boat, you don't have to worry about the storms. If Jesus isn't in your boat, you need to get him in the boat. Because don't go through the storms of life without Jesus in your boat. And throughout Scripture, we get that sense of sometimes people expressing the feeling, God, where are you? I'm in trouble. Things are black and bleak and dark. Why are you hiding from me? Why have you turned your face from me? Where are you? You read the story of Job. People were asking that question. Last week after services, someone came up to me and said, what is your go-to psalms? What are the psalms that you go to when you really need one? And it kind of depends on what I'm going through. There are different psalms that I go to in different circumstances. If I feel lonely, 139. But my immediate answer was Psalm 46. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And Psalm 121, that song of ascent that we talked about. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from God. And they would express those words as they traveled up to Jerusalem to worship God. And then I thought to myself, the question challenged me. And so this week I decided I'm just going to read through Psalms. I started this on Sunday. And I'm going to look for something that just stops me in my tracks. I'm looking for a new go-to psalm. I'm looking for a new psalm to put on my playlist, and I'm reading through the psalms. And I get to Psalm 10, and it says these words. It starts off, why, Lord, do you stand far off? And why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Why do you stand far off? And I saw those words repeated over and over as I was reading through Psalm, looking for my new go-to psalm. And I didn't get to that psalm until I got to Psalm 107. And that's the psalm we're going to look at today. Because he answers the question, where is God? In times of trouble, when times are turbulent, when we start asking that question, where is God? And we have a world around us right now because of this pandemic and because of all the other crazy stuff that's happening in 2020. People asking, where is he? Where's God? All this stuff's happening. Where is he? And the answer that he gives is that God's in the boat. God is there. God is present. And he's going to remind them of the God that we have, and he's going to show them four snapshots to remind them of some important things to remember when we're going through difficult times. And one of the most important things is that there's deliverance from difficulties. when we go through hard times, difficult times in our lives. Psalm 107 is the first psalm. In, as you read through Psalms, you'll see book 1, book 2, book 3, book 4. And if you open your Bibles to Psalm 107, you'll see book 5. And I told you before that many people believe that there's a connection between Psalm book 1 in Genesis, Psalm book 2 in Exodus, Psalm 3 in Numbers, 4, Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, got those mixed up, sorry. And then book 5 would be what? Deuteronomy. Okay? What does Deuteronomy mean? The second giving of the law. It was their second chance. What happened to the first time? Moses got mad, broke the tablets, and they drank up gold stuff, and all that happened. And now they get the second giving of the law, and there's a blessings and the cursings. And Psalm 107, the background of that psalm is, it is written, Psalm 107 through Psalm 119 are psalms believed to have been written as they are building the second temple. They had been taken off into Babylonian captivity from Jerusalem. They spent 70 years in captivity, and then they came back. The temple was destroyed. Now they're going to rebuild the temple, the second building of the temple. These psalms were written as that foundation is being laid to rebuild the temple. They're making up these songs, and they're saying things that are important for them to remember as they lay this second temple, second giving of the law, second building the temple. What does that signify? Second chances. God's perfect gift to imperfect people is a fresh start. He's a God of second chances. Ask Jonah. He's a God of second chances. God is about restoring us. God is about rebuilding us. God is about rejuvenation. That's good news, isn't it? God keeps working on us even when we make mistakes, even when we get off track. Judah had gotten off track, went into captivity, came back, and he's going to remind them of some things. And he starts the psalm off with these words. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. There's that word again, hesed. His covenant love. His steadfast love, his everlasting love, the love that endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. When you're going through tough times, remember, God is a deliverer. God is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Some of your translations will say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from the hands of their foe. And then in verse 3, he's going to add to that and say, those he gathered from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. God is a deliverer. Rejoice in him. And then he's going to tell them four stories, four reminders of God delivering them. And I'm calling them four snapshots. And as we look at the snapshots, one time my grandfather came back from a hunting trip and he was telling me about the trip. And then he reached in his bag and he pulled out some Polaroids and he was going to show me some of the pictures from the trip. But before he showed them to me, there's some things he wanted to explain before I looked at the snapshots. These are some things you need to know about what we're fixing to look at before we look at the individual snapshots. First of all, there are eight verses, there's four stories, and he's going to repeat a chorus, basically, four times, once in each story, about us asking for help and reminding us that God delivers, and also that we need to respond by giving God thanks. He's going to repeat those things four times, and these are the verses he uses. First of all, ask for help and await God's deliverance. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He repeats it four times. If a teacher gets up and says, this is important, and he explains some stuff and he says, this is important, this is important, this is important, what do you know? That's important. It's probably going to be on the test, right? David is saying, this is important. This is in the center of what I'm trying to communicate to you. When they got in trouble, what did they do? They cried. They cried to God for help. And guess what James says? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. When you cry to God for help, when you draw near to Him, what's God going to do? Draw near to you. When you call, He hears. And when He hears, He comes. And when He comes, He delivers. He delivered them from their distress. God delivers us from our distresses, no matter how big or small, to what other people think. I mean, some people, I sometimes got big problems, but other people think they're little problems. Something's wrong with those people because all my problems are big, right? Serious, big problems. But some people think, that's not that bad. Whatever our distresses are. And every single time he says, when he delivers you, you know what my response is supposed to be? Like the one leper that came back and told Jesus, thank you. He's going to repeat this verse four times. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. He repeats it four times. Every single story gets these verses repeated. It's important. It's our response. Ask for help. Await God's deliverance. And always give Him thanks. Always show your gratitude. Always show your appreciation. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107 if you haven't already. And let's discover these four snapshots of God delivering His people from difficulties and how to respond. First of all, God delivers His people from the desert. Ask God for help, await deliverance, and always give thanks. He delivers them from the desert. Listen to this description, starting in verse 4. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry, they were thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. This is somebody wandering in the desert, and they're hungry and they're thirsty, and they got no place to go, and their life is ebbing away. They're beginning to feel like there's no way out of this. They need somebody to point them in the right direction. They're lost. You ever been lost? All the men say, yeah. I told them I didn't need directions, and I got lost. Okay. But listen to what he says in verse 6. Then I cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. They asked for help, and God delivered them. They were in the wilderness, and finally they said, please help us. And God showed them the way, and He gave them a place to settle. And because He delivered them dramatically, in verse 8 it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, for His wonderful deeds done for mankind. He satisfies the thirsty, and He fills the hungry with good things. Now, if you're lost in the desert and you feel like you're about to die, and somebody comes and says, I can tell you where you can settle, and why don't you take the time, just sit down and rest, and I got a picnic basket, and they lay out a big blanket, and they feed you, and you drink all the water you can, and you're like, if you're lost, if you're wandering around spiritually in the dark and there's no way out, God's got an answer for you. If He's in your boat, He can rescue you. He can deliver you. Call to Him for help. You've got to move to God before He's going to move to you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. God is there for you. call on Him. And when He comes, God's going to deliver you. And He's going to deliver you how? Abundantly. That's good stuff. Second picture. Oh, first of all, just for our heads, remember that Jesus Himself did this. He asked God for help. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent, what? Cries. There's a difference between asking, praying, and crying out for help. It says, fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. He was in the desert. He was looking for help. And he was heard because of what? His reverent submission. That's my attitude. God, help me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God will deliver. I have people sometimes call and say, why isn't God hearing me? Why isn't God helping me? Sometimes it's because they haven't cried out to God for help. They're not there yet. Second picture. God delivers His people from prison. Now don't raise your hand. Has anybody ever been in prison? When I was a minister in Huntsville, I'd go preach to a congregation away from there, and I have to tell people, I live in Huntsville on this side of the bars, right? I'm not in a weekend release program. I'm a good guy. But maybe you haven't been in a physical prison. I remember in sixth grade, they had a field trip at school to the jail. And they put us in a tank in the jail in Lubbock. And I never forget that feeling. They shut the door on us. We're all like fifth graders. They shut the door and we're looking at each other. And I'm looking at some of my friends. You're not getting out. Right? You're confined. A fish was at the bottom of the lake. It sent some food inside a Coke can. It got in. It began to eat the food. Its body expanded. It got in and it couldn't get out. That's what prison is. You get in and you can't get out. Have you ever been in prison? Maybe not physical prison, but in prison. We live in a world of people who are addicted to things. They're in prison. We live in people that are in bad relationships. It's like a prison. We get in and we can't get out of things. He's describing bondage. They had been taken into bondage. They understood what it was like to be out in the desert. They understood what it was like to be in bondage. And he says in verse 10, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. Did they deserve it? Yeah. I mean, we in the Bible, we have words like justice, mercy, and grace. What's the difference? Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve at all. The good stuff. God's riches at Christ's expense. They were getting justice. They were getting what they deserve because of sin. But when they cry out for help, God's going to help them. It says, so He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no help. They cried to the Lord in their trouble and He saved them from their distress. There's that verse again. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. If you've ever been in something you couldn't get out of and you finally got free of it, that's a good feeling, isn't it? No more shackles on your feet. No more addiction. If you've been in an addiction and you're not in it anymore, you know what that feels like. He brought them out of the darkness, utter darkness, and broke their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds done for mankind, because He breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the iron bars. What seems to be a prison you're never going to get out of, God can set you free. Powerful, isn't it? Third story. It's a sick bed. It's a hospital. It's a hospice room. It's someone who is afflicted with physical suffering. Like the woman in the Gospels, she went to many doctors. She spent all the money she had, but instead of getting better, she got worse. Someone who is convalescing. We spend a lot of time in our lives convalescing from sickness. We know what it's like to be really sick, right? Most of us. God delivers His people from sickness. Listen to the words in verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. I mean, that is sick. You can't eat anything? You ever been that sick where somebody put food in front of you? You're like, no way. And they drew near to the gates of death. That's pretty bad. Critical condition. They're about to flatline. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. There's nothing God can't save you from. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let us give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. They're probably saying, David, quit saying that over and over again. He said, I can't quit saying it. Ask God for help. Await His deliverance. It's going to come. It's not going to come when you want it to. I mean, we want instant oatmeal. We want minute rice. We want stuff that happens just like that. I mean, we live in a time where people put stuff in the microwave, and if they have to get a pot out and boil it, it seems like forever. I mean, if you've got fast internet and then you go over to somebody's house that's got slow internet, you're just in agony because it takes a whole 20 seconds longer. And we're like, ah, I can't stand this, right? Or if your phone doesn't work right, you get frustrated. And we don't have much patience. Await the Lord's deliverance. He's not always going to deliver you like that, but He will deliver you. We have such an awesome God. And let them sacrifice thank offerings, tell of His works with songs of joy. He delivers us from sickness. And then the final one, and I'm going through here. Someday I'll do a Sunday night series on each one of these, and we'll take more time and break things apart. But I want you to get the big picture, because that's what David's trying to do. And he says He delivers them from a sea storm. Now, they caused the sickness. They caused the imprisonment. They caused the wandering in the desert because of their bad decisions and sin. Now, there's a storm coming. God's going to use it to mature them. He's going to allow some storms to come in their life because He wants them, just like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I don't want you to be unaware of all the problems we've gone through. We literally face the sentence of death, but all these things happen so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That's 2 Corinthians 1. So that we wouldn't trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Sometimes things happen to us because God wants us to grow in our faith, in our trusting in Him. Listen to His words. Some went out to sea in ships. They were merchants in the mighty waters. So they're doing business. They're making money. Now God's going to make them check their priorities. He's going to give them some rocky waters. When Jesus got His disciples, when they went into the storm, Jesus got His disciples in the boat and He led them into the storm. And then He calmed it. That's what's going to happen here. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up the tempest and lifted the highways. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. That's quite a ride, okay? You're going up to the heavens and down to the depths. That's a roller coaster ride. In their peril, their courage melted away. Paul, how did you feel when you were in that storm? Hey, Luke, what did you think when you guys were in that shipwreck? They literally were giving up hope. That's what the text says in Acts. They reeled and staggered like drunkens, like drunkards. So they were seasick, and they were, you know, swaying around. You ever been seasick? You ever been on a boat and you felt all dizzy? They were at their wits' end. I like that. You ever been at wits' end? My grandmother used to have that. Rusty, I'm at wits' end with you. I still love you, but I'm at wits' end. All right. I'm going to snatch you ball-headed. That's what she'd say. That was... Anyway. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Reminds you of Jesus calming the storm, doesn't it? They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. If you're in a storm and you're feeling drunk and you're sick and you come to a safe haven, it's calm, there's land, you're kissing the dirt, you're glad to be through that, right? Who brings us through the storms? My intellect? The doctors? No, God does. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, His wonderful deeds for mankind, and let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. Four snapshots. What's in it for us to learn? No matter what you go through, God is able to deliver you. That's good news. What do you have to do to get deliverance? Ask and await, and always rejoice. That needs to be burned in our heads. When we're in trouble, ask. How come many times we face trouble, we go to lots of other resources first and then God later? Our first response should be, help me. Because if that is not our first response, things are going to get hotter, things are going to get tougher, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to depend on Him and ask for His help. And when we ask, He comes. And He's going to deliver us. He is always, it doesn't matter if it's the desert, it's the sea, it's sickness, or it's prison. Wherever you are, God is able to deliver you. And wherever you are, God is. If He's in your boat, it's your decision if He's in your boat or not. You decide if God is in your boat or not. If Jesus is in your boat or not. If He's there, you're okay. If He's not there, it's not going to be okay until you get Him in there. Wherever, whatever we face, God is able. In Psalm 34, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take, the one who takes refuge in Him." You take refuge in God? You take refuge in your bank account? You take refuge in the commercialism of the world and the material goods of the world? Do you take refuge in relationships? Do you take refuge in hobbies? What do you take refuge in? Take refuge in God, because He's a sure thing and He will deliver you. Listen to the Look at the conclusion, basically, that David is making by these statements he makes over and over again. Ask God for help, await deliverance, and always give thanks. Look at the very last verse of Psalm 107. I'm going to stop with verse 32. I know you're glad, but look at verse 43. Let the one who is wise heed these things, and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. What is his conclusion? Think about all the great things God has done, and if you're wise, you will ponder them. And as you ponder what he's just said, guess what? Ask, await, and always give thanks. Be grateful. We have a choice to make when we face difficult times. We can look at the bad or we can look at the good. And if we think about God, we're going to see good things because there is hope in God. There's a story told of a woman who was going through a time of great poverty and great struggle and great suffering in her life. And she asked God to help her. And she got some help from some Christians. And she was in her small apartment. They had brought her some groceries. But as she was eating this thin soup with just some bread and crackers, she looked up at one of the people that were visiting her and said, "All this plus Jesus too." That's the spirit of this song. All this, and we get Jesus too. When you go through suffering, when you lose everything, you got to look up and say, "All this and Jesus too." In Habakkuk 3, he says, there's no animals in the stalls. There's no fruit on the vines. There's nothing. All the figs are gone. But I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will still hope in God, even though it's black and bleak. Be grateful. David lays it down in this psalm. I hope we take it to heart. I hope you take some time maybe to memorize those verses and let the redeemed tell their story. When God delivers you from something, tell people about it. Sometimes we're apprehensive if somebody comes to me and says, "I'm going through a tough time." Well, should I share my story with them or not? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell them. I was there. I struggled. This is what God did for me. People need to hear that we have a God who delivers. Maybe you're in sin. Maybe you need to be delivered from your lostness, from your prison spiritually. Maybe you need to be revived by coming to the Lord, confessing your faith, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. We always want to give you that invitation as we sing with Kendall.
prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, let us focus our thoughts on God. Let us remember as we partake of the bread that it was Christ's body which was crushed and bruised, taking on our punishment. Let us remember the blood that was spilled because of our sins. And remember that that same blood also redeems us from our sins and covers our sins. So let us give thanks in that as we partake of this supper. Let us pray. Father, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for Christ, for the gift of his life, for his example for us. Let us now, as we partake of this bread, Father, remember Christ. Remember that it was for us that he took on our punishment in the form of his body. We thank Christ for that, and we pray now in his name. Amen. Let us pray again. Father, we continue our prayer of thanks to you, thanking you again for Christ, for the life that he lived, for the example that he gave, and for his willingness to shed his blood for us. As we partake of this cup, Father, let us remember Christ, remember the blood that he's spilled for us, Father, but also let us celebrate that that blood allows us to have redemption and salvation, which is only found in him. We pray this in his name. Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. We also would like to take a moment to offer thanks for the blessings that we have and the opportunity that we have to give back. We'd also like to say thanks for each person for the special contribution that you have made for the effort in Louisiana from the hurricane there. So let us give thanks for what God has blessed us with. Father, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for all that we have. We know that all that we have comes from you. It is a blessing from you, Father. We pray now that as we give back a portion of our earnings, Father, that those earnings will go to support your efforts, Father, here and abroad. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.